listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
Easy there, Santa.
It's us.
Ho, ho, ho. We're back in your face.
Did you see that throw?
I did. That was...
it got caught in the wind,
pretty
man.
Pathetic.
All right, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense, episode 33, part two with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we're rocking out to some more Christmas tunes. And we do say Christmas, right?
Or yeah, happy holidays. Yeah, we do holidays. Say Christmas. And we say can say happy holidays.
Well, I say happy holidays. One reason is because there's two of them almost in a row. Well, in a row, yeah. New Year's and Christmas. So it is plural. As John Stewart would say from The Daily Show.
Happy holidays, John.
Right. Happy holidays, Scott.
May God bless us all.
Oh.
All right, John, before we get into our top five Christmas movies of all time, got a couple of miscellaneous little stories here, John. And I'm going to start out this as a quiz to you, John.
Oh.
Do you know what the number one new word by the new Oxford American Dictionary was voted? What a poorly phrased question. Let me try again. Do you know what the new Oxford American Dictionary has voted their new number one word, John?
I do. Is it...
Cock push-ups?
It is not cock push-ups.
No, okay.
That is a runner-up, but it is not the number one word. Go ahead and give the definition of cock push-ups, cock push-ups though, because it is a runner-up.
Cock push-ups?
Yes, cock push-ups.
It's where you fucking lay down flat on the ground, and then you let your boner lift you up off the ground. See? It's fucking simple.
No doubt. How simple can it be? And that is a runner-up.
And then when you're done, you have to...
Put two of them up your ass.
And then you're all good to go.
The number one word, John, is podcasts.
Oh, podcasts?
Podcasts, plural. Only a year ago, podcasting was an arcane activity, the domain of a few techies and self-admitted geeks. Now you can hear everything from NASCAR coverage to NPR's All Things Considered. Well, where's the geek part drop out with that? You know what I'm saying? They're still geeky.
Oh, man.
Thousands of podcasts are available on iTunes Music Store and websites such as iPodder and PodcastNet, and our favorite, of course, PodcastAlley.com. Track thousands more. That's why the editors of the New Oxford Dictionary have selected podcasts as the word of the year for 2005.
You're a neo-maxi-zoom dweeby.
All right, John, here's some runners-up. You mentioned cock push-ups. The other one, persistent vegetative state.
Wow.
This is a condition in which the patient recovering from a coma retains reflex responses, like getting a hard-on, and may appear wakeful but has no cognitive functions other than evidence of cerebral cortical activity, John.
Nice.
The other one is squick. Squick.
What's that?
Cause immediate and thorough revulsion.
It's not
squick.
The shocker.
Has anyone else squicked by our waiter's piercings?
Has anybody else squicked by Total Talk Nonsense?
One other one is smectard. This was first heard on Punky, ironically, and also a podcast, which is the number one word, but smectard.
That sounds like a great name for a band.
Smectard.
You
no doubt.
Smectard.
Also,
smacked,
in related news, this has something to do with Punky as well.
Can I ask you a question?
I don't know if you've heard this, John. A new film is coming out. It's getting quite critically acclaimed.
Really?
Yes, a new film from the Academy Award-nominated director Ang Lee. Do you know who Ang Lee is, John?
Yeah.
An epic love story set against the sweeping vistas of Wyoming and Texas, Brokeback Mountain, tells the story of two young men, a DJ from Mansfield, named Pauly B and a punk rocker, Butch Tony, who meet in the summer of 1963 and unexpectedly forge a lifelong connection.
How can I
quit
you?
One whose complications, joys, and tragedies provide a testament to the endurance of the power of homosexual love. So Punky getting some more pub, man.
Yeah.
More publicity. I wonder who played Pauly B in that movie.
Gyllenhaal?
Jake Gyllenhaal was playing it? Pauly B, and Heath Ledger was Butch Tony?
Yeah. I've heard some clips, though, where he's crying. He's like, I don't know how to quit you.
Oh, yeah, that's
Johnny
good.
B plays it all the time. I don't know how to quit you.
Well, that's all right. I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass. All right, John. Speaking of getting fucked in the ass, why don't you tell us about your doctor's appointment? Now, last week you said you were supposed to go on Friday, and you showed up with your urine sample, and they said, hey, you're not supposed to be here until next Friday.
Right.
So that was 2 days ago.
Right.
Why don't you tell us about what happened when you went to the doctor
on
Friday?
Well, you know, I went in there, and this nurse tells me to take my shirt off, and I'm like, okay.
That's hot.
You know, and it's a little cold in there. So I do, and I lay down in the little gurney.
Little gurney,
and
right.
She hooks me up to the electrodes and gives me an EKG.
EKG?
Yeah.
In a physical?
Oh, yeah. I'm old. I'm 41, man. Right, they do that now.
All right.
You really start thinking, God, I got to be old. They got to hook me up to the electrical shit. So that was okay. Went pretty good. Then he checked my blood pressure. That was okay. You know, listened to my heart, checked for lymph glands and all that shit. And then he says, okay, I need you to take your pants off.
Oh, and, bummer.
And pull your underwear down. And I'm like, okay, to my knees or ankles? All the way down's fine. Okay.
Well, hold it. Wait a minute. To my knees or my ankles?
Yeah.
Pull your pants down. I would think that means your ankles. To my knees?
How far down? I wanted to know. I wanted specifics. I'm in the doctor's office. I need professionalism.
All right.
So I pull them suckers down to the ankles, and, you know, he starts squeezing my nuts. And he's a big, tall Indian guy. He's like six, I don't know, two
or something.
Has
he got long arms?
Really long arms.
Oh, so he didn't have to bend over then.
Long fingers. He was already sitting.
Oh, he's sitting.
He was sitting down,
eye
level with my cock. And he's squeezing my nuts and telling me to cough and all this stuff.
Oh, they usually say turn your head to the left and cough.
No, he just said cough.
Just cough?
Yeah.
Okay.
And but it's either side. So
yeah, whatever.
They just say right down the middle now.
Oh, right down the middle.
Yeah. So then, you know, he says, turn around, please. And,
wait a minute. So the balls passed inspection?
Yeah.
There's two of them.
He said there was two.
All right. That's good.
You know, he juggled them around in his mouth. And then, and you know, your dick kind of shrivels up a little bit there, you know? So it's kind of hiding in the, you know, the hair.
Hey, speak for yourself.
Looks
man.
Like a, whatever.
Mine can never. Just hide in the hair.
It's because you shave.
That's
your
right.
Shit
for
down.
One reason, I shave.
Anybody who has to talk about it all the
and
time,
for
like
two,
that, it doesn't have jack.
When you
shit.
Got 14 inches, there's not much to hide. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even when it's, I jump in a cold pool.
I think you're thinking more metric, 14 millimeters.
That may be.
Yeah, you're having trouble with your conversion. So anyway, I digress. May I? Thank you.
Of course.
So he says, "Okay, turn around." Okay. Bend over. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, this is the uncomfortable part.
The big prostate.
Part. Yeah. And the guy's got hands like a fucking basketball player. And he shoves his finger up my ass so far, it felt like it came out my mouth.
That's hot.
And, yeah, not quite. You know, and I look back at him, and he's got both hands on my shoulders.
Wait a minute, you look back at him?
Yeah. I'm thinking, what the fuck
Hold
is
it.
He doing?
How can he have both hands on your shoulders if he's got one up your sphincter?
I'm not sure.
All
I
right.
didn't ask.
So
I
wait,
think I was being raped.
When you look back at him, did you make eye contact?
Yeah, I kind of. I pursed my lips.
That's gay. You're gay. I would never do that.
I am not gay. I'm married.
I got to tell you, and this is no come on to you, John.
You fucking bitch!
But if I could select who my doctor was, it would be you. Because you have the shortest goddamn fingers I've ever seen.
But they're really thick.
Well, that's
so
all
remember,
right.
That's the part that hurts. It's not so much the depth. It is so how, like I said, his finger was like a giant big toe, but about 8 inches long.
All right, so I haven't had the prostate thing yet. So what is he doing when he sticks his finger in there? What does his finger do?
He's checking for your prostate.
Is he making like a swirly motion?
No, because if he did, I'd fucking squirt.
Did you get a reach around?
No.
So what? But it goes in, and then what does he do?
He pokes in there, and he just checks to see if the nodule is really, you know, enlarged.
The prostate nodule. Yeah. How far is the prostate in from
it's
the shrinker?
It's in there, man. But if they massage it, you know.
Slow down. I'm going to spurt. Ah! Yeah. Sorry.
That's what happened.
Well, I am
not looking forward
to that.
Slow down.
Slow down. I'm going to spurt. Ah! Sorry.
The one thing I have going for me is I have a female doctor who's hot.
Yeah, wait till her nail pokes your fucking rectum.
Yeah, all right. Well, the wife has been telling me, you know, next time you go in, you're going to have to get the prostate exam.
Yep.
And why can't they just post that crap on the internet so you can do it yourself, you know? I'd rather have my wife do it than this doctor.
Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying?
No, you don't want her going up there, man. Because then you might really dig it. Well, you know, I came home. I said to the wife, because, you know, I said, oh, yeah, it was brutal. Shoving his face in my ass still hurts. And she's laughing. I go, I don't know how your brother can do it.
Because her brother's queer.
Okay, yeah. She goes,
well, is he the pitcher or catcher?
She says, I don't know. She's like, I just threw up in my mouth. So, you know, everything's cool, and I'm walking out of there like clutching my coat, like I've just been violated.
You had to go home and shower.
Yeah, I was raped. And, you know, he gives you a little tissue to wipe the cream off your ass.
Because he lubes up.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
He lubes
it's not
it
like
up.
A cactus going in your ass.
It kind of felt like it.
I'm George Takei.
I recommend
you might remember
he uses
me as Sulu from Star Trek. Do you suffer from goat's ass? Well, if you do, I have a new product for you.
Sulu ass cream.
One dab on your middle finger to circle your anus and wipe out the Klingons. It's called
Sulu ass cream.
That's right.
Sulu ass cream.
For that fresh, warm, deep penetrating feeling. Use
Sulu ass cream.
Get yourself a big fat tube of
Sulu ass cream.
Then boldly go where no man has gone before.
Available at any neighborhood pharmacy or local adult bookstore.
Well, John, that reminds me, you and I have been working on our harmonies, and we've been practicing a TTN, what would you call it? A TTN.
Right. Thing.
Whatever you call it. But are you ready to go? You want to?
Oh, yeah.
We've been practicing really hard.
Yeah.
So why don't we give the fans a taste of our harmonies, our angelic harmonies. Go ahead, whenever you're ready.
Hold on.
Give me a countdown. Whenever you're ready.
One, two, three.
Talk nonsense with John and Scott.
Come on, you ruined it with that laugh.
No, shut up. I know what the fuck I'm doing. Shut up.
3, 2, 1.
You're listening to AKC Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
What the hell happened?
I don't know.
What happened? That sounded like shit. Where's your cough button? Is it up your sphincter?
Fuck you.
Cocksucker,
you fucking bitch.
You fucking bitch. That's kind of cool.
Turn that shit off.
No, shit. What are you talking about? What's wrong with my voice? It sounds like I'm going through puberty.
It sounds like you're hitting your sphincter examination.
Hey, what the fuck is going on? Quit laughing at me, asshole. I'm really serious. It's kind of like my voice is, I'm going through puberty.
Kind of like that. Oh, you turned it off. All right, then. Let's get into our top five Christmas movies of all time. Now, these are the top five Christmas movies we have to see every holiday season.
I wonder how that's going to sound.
And we watch them every holiday season, John. Every holiday.
Yeah.
Who wants to start? Do you want to start? Do you want me to start?
I'll start.
All right, go ahead, man.
Hold on.
Start with your honorable mention and then get into your list.
Well, this is... God, that hurt, man. I think my throat's bleeding. Honorable mentions, it's a short list. The Santa Claus.
The Santa Claus? What's that?
It's the one with Tim... Oh, what the hell's his face from that?
Tim Allen?
Yeah, Tim Allen.
Okay. Oh, right, right. Where Santa Claus falls off the roof and dies.
There was such a clatter. Such a clatter.
Clatter.
Such a clatter company. God damn, I'm having problems here. Die Hard.
Die Hard's on your honorable mention.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, what else?
Batman Returns.
Batman Returns.
Yeah.
Who's in that?
What do you mean, who's in that?
Who's in that?
Catwoman.
And who else? But who plays Batman?
Michael Keaton.
Batman Returns.
It's with the Penguin and...
Right, with Danny DeVito.
And Michelle Pfeiffer. And it's set at Christmas time.
Yeah, but it's make-believe Christmas time. It's not a real Christmas time.
Wait a minute.
It's in Gotham City, which is make-believe, which has a make-believe Christmas.
Oh, God. So is all your
No, it's not. Mine is serious.
Whatever. Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's another Christmas one. Anyway. Can I go now?
Yeah, start with your number five.
Well,
John.
I had a tie. Yeah, two of them. And I think I screwed up because I watch this one a lot now since I have kids.
Right.
But I put Home Alone and Elf in tie for fifth.
Okay, so which one did you screw up on?
I think Home Alone should just be fifth because Elf is, I think it's really funny, but it's kind of dark funny. I don't know.
Right. Will you be watching it 20 years from now on Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
That's the question.
Yeah, I will be.
Okay.
Be one of my six. So, Home Alone with Macaulay Culkin, 1990. 8-year-old who is mistakenly left behind when his family flies to France for a Christmas vacation. I thought that was pretty funny, and here's a clip.
You guys give up, or you're thirsty for more?
That's all I got.
And that's good. That's when he's at the top of the stairs.
Right.
And they've already, like, Joe Pesci's already had his head burned off and his hand burned. And Cyril, I know him as Cyril from Breaking Away.
Yeah.
He's already had, he's barefoot and he's stepped in broken ornaments.
Right.
Oh, and they've both been whapped with
paint cans.
Paint cans in the head.
And, Stern. Michael Stern, is it? Is it Mike Stern?
Mike Stern? Sounds familiar.
Yeah. He gets whapped in the head with an iron.
Right, well, right.
He thinks it's a light bulb. He goes to turn it on. That thing cracks him in the head.
So what do you got on Elf? You got anything to say about
you
Elf?
You know, most of the film was shot right here in Chicago.
I knew
in
that.
In Winnetka.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Just like Tom Cruise's movie, Risky Business.
And did you know there were four Home Alones made?
I only thought
three
there were
sequels.
Three.
Home Alone 2, Lost in New York in 1992. Home
was
Alone
Macaulay
3,
Culkin in that?
Yes, he was.
But 3, he wasn't,
He
right?
was not in 3 nor 4 in 2003. Neither of them. Culkin, Pesci, Stern, and the whole McAllister family only appeared in the first two.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay, Elf. Elf was my was tied there with fifth place. It's a 2003 American comedy film written by David Barenboim and directed by Jon Favreau.
Favreau is
very good. Good comedian, comedic actor as
From
well.
Singles, right? That
right,
was his first
right,
movie?
Right,
No, Singles? Was that it?
Not Singles. Swingers.
Swingers, right. Swingers, not Singles. Yeah. Swingers.
It was released in the U.S. on November 7th, 2003. And it stars Will Ferrell as an elf, an orphan boy who he crawled into Santa's bag, and they brought him back to the North Pole, and he grew up to be a giant human being that
had the mannerisms.
Yeah,
of an elf.
Well, they brought him up as an elf,
but he just couldn't fit in.
Here's a clip.
I didn't know you had elves working here.
Boy, you're hilarious, my friend. He doesn't. Get back to the story, please. So, on the cover above the title.
Does Santa know that you left the workshop?
You know, we're all laughing our heads off.
Did you have to borrow a reindeer to get down here?
Buddy, go back to the basement.
Hey, Jackweed. I get more acting in a week than you've had in
Jackweed.
I've got
Smacktard.
In L.A., Paris, and Vail. Oh. Each one of them with a 70-inch plasma screen. So I suggest you wipe that stupid smile off your face before I come over there and smack it off. You feeling strong, my friend? Call me Elf one more time.
He's an angry elf.
You should have gave a little
intro.
Yeah, I know.
I forgot to set it up because he barges in on his dad, who he finds out that it's his dad. He travels to New York and he finds his dad, and his dad is like an executive in a publishing company, and they need to get a story out. The deadline is Christmas Eve, and it has to be finished. So they bring in this guy that's a midget that writes stories, and he's amazing, and they're trying to get this meeting with him, and Buddy the elf walks in and thinks he's an elf, the midget, so he pisses the guy off, and the guy literally runs across the table and starts choking the shit out of Will Ferrell. It's pretty funny.
It is one of the funniest parts of the movie, and I thought the midget did an excellent job as being a midget book author.
Yeah.
No doubt.
He was pretty funny. So what do you got for 5?
Oh, well, let me give you my honorable mentions. I also have Elf as my honorable mention. I have Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, 1964 TV.
I didn't know we were doing cartoons.
Dr. Seuss, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, 1966.
I didn't know cartoons was part of the list. I thought that would be a
separate
list. Why
can't cartoons be on the list? And Bad Santa, honorable mention.
Oh, man.
I love Bad Santa. I've only seen it twice, though. I don't know if I can... I'll be able to watch it every year. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. It's bad.
But my number 5, John. Go ahead and play the clip.
All
number
right.
5.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Who are you, then?
Just a fly in the ointment, Hans. A monkey in a wrench. A pain in the ass.
You have me at a loss. You know my name, but who are you? Just another American who saw too many movies as a child. Another orphan of a bankrupt culture who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo, Marshall Dillon.
I was always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually. I really like those sequin shirts.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
All right, John, did you know what that is?
I think... let me look at my notes. Right here. Ah, Die Hard.
That's right,
is that
John.
Die Hard,
Die Hard is
my
number
honorable,
5.
Honorable mention.
Number 5.
Yeah. Wow.
Love that movie. Did you know, John, that Richard Gere was considered for the role of John McClane?
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
If that happened, it wouldn't be on my top 5, John. Okay? It wouldn't.
No doubt.
He can do it. He can pull it off in Pretty Woman. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like a mega rich millionaire who hires a whore to go with him. And hey, whoa, hey, I'm not ready for that. But he wouldn't handle it as John McClane. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Also, did you know in the German version, Hans Gruber, his name, Hans Gruber, is changed to Jack Gruber. Now, why would they do that, John? Why wouldn't they have him as Hans Gruber?
I don't know.
In such German fashion, it's Hans Gruber. I don't know. So that's my number five, John. What's your number four?
I covered that. They changed his name and they made him like a Swedish terrorist or something.
A European, right,
yeah.
Right.
And that's probably why they changed it to Jack.
Oh, I see.
Instead of Hans.
Hans.
Well, my number four was Scrooged.
Oh, with Bill Murray.
Yeah. 1988, right. With Bill Murray and Bobcat Goldthwait, who is awesome in that. John Forsyth was in it, Carol Kane, David Johansen, John Houseman.
David Johansen from the New York Dolls, man.
Yeah, yeah, right. And let's see, who else is in there? Oh, there's some cameo appearances by Olympic gymnast Mary Lou Retton, musicians Larry Carlton, Miles Davis, David Sanborn, and Paul Schaefer.
Miles Davis is
in
that?
Yeah,
yeah. I'll have to check that out again.
Actor-singer Robert Goulet. Actors Jamie Farr, Buddy Hackett, Lee Majors, and Pat McCormick are also in the movie.
Well, I got to tell you, John, that may have made my honorable mention because I love Bill Murray.
Yeah.
I love Bill Murray.
He is great in that movie.
But I hate Bobcat Goldthwait.
Are you
more
serious?
Than I love Bill Murray.
He's great in that.
So that's why it didn't make my.
He is great.
Even my honorable mention.
He is great in that movie. It was a perfect part for him in that movie. It was fantastic. But anyway, my clip here is, I can't remember the name of the broad that does it. Not Karen Allen. Carol Kane, maybe? The one with her high-pitched voice. She was like Lodka's wife.
Right.
She likes slapping him and stuff. She's one of the angels that meets him because it's kind of like based on the Christmas Carol story. He gets visited by...
I wouldn't have gotten that. Thanks for telling me. By the title, Scrooge.
Fuck you. You dope.
Wow. Hey. Hey, now that you mention it... Just to get that attention. I'm sorry, I talked over your clip.
Yeah.
Try again.
I thought it was my time.
I'll correct that in post.
I thought it was my time now to
go ahead,
this,
man. Play your clip.
Freaking.
I'm sorry.
Big mouth. Sometimes you have to slap them in the face. Slap them in the face. Get their attention. That's the only sound clip I could find. Oh, man. Did I have anything special about this? His brothers. All his brothers were in the movie, too.
Hmm.
Brian, John, and Joel appeared.
Wow.
Yeah, Brian Doyle Murray, John Murray, and Joel Murray.
Joel.
Yeah, it's quite good. I thought it was great. So
what about Doobie Me Murray? Was he in it?
No.
No, he wasn't in it?
Doobie
Me?
No, Murray? He wasn't in it.
No.
All right, what do you got, number four.
Number four, John, go ahead and play the clip. Number four.
Hold on, let me get...
Play the clip,
okay.
Number four.
Here we go.
I'm going to give you, to the count of 10, to get your ugly, yellow, no good keister off my property.
All right then, John, do you know what my number four was? That's right, John, it was Home Alone, 1990.
Home Alone, I have it written down.
You've already talked about, so I won't spend too much time on it. A couple of things, though, John. Entered into the Guinness Book of World Records as the highest box office gross for a comedy. Guess how much it accumulated, John?
How much accumulated there, Doug?
$533 million internationally. That's a half $1 billion, John.
Wow.
Also, Joe Pesci kept forgetting that he was filming a family movie during the character's on-screen outburst, so director Chris Columbus advised him to say, "Fridge," instead of the F word, which Joe Pesci was saying. Now, Chris Columbus, didn't he go on to do the X-Files?
Wow.
Chris
Columbus? Wait a minute, he kept saying the F word? Pesci?
Yeah, he Pesci. During his outburst, you know, like when he'd get his head torched and
the
stuff.
A little fucking bat. I mean.
Right. So that's my number four. On to your number three, John.
Number three. Well, maybe I should play the clip.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead and play the clip of number three.
And you can guess. Here we go.
I want an official Red Ryder carbon action 200 shot range ball air rifle.
No. Shoot your eye out.
Of course I know that one.
Okay. What is it?
It is The Christmas Story, John.
It's A Christmas Story.
It's like System of the Down, System of A Down. It's all the same to
No,
me.
It's not.
It is.
It's not the title, then.
A Christmas Story.
A Christmas Story. 1983. Semi-biographical film based on the short stories of author Gene Shepherd, collected in the book In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash. It was released by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. And it's a great movie because it's the whole movie. This kid is trying to procure a Red Ryder BB gun. And
procure
it through Santa Claus. He's trying to work an angle somehow, some way. Talking to Santa Claus. Even when he goes into the store, into the department store and meets up with Santa Claus, Santa Claus says, "You'll shoot your eye out," and like kicks him in the face. No, actually what he does is, He freezes up, and he's afraid to tell Santa what he wants. And he gets thrown down a slide, and he stops himself in the mid-slide and crawls back up and says, "I want a Red Ryder BB gun." And Santa says, "Why do you want that? You'll shoot your eye out," and then kicks the kid in the face and knocks him down the slide.
Right.
And it's a banner. Pivotable.
it's pivotable, man.
It's a pivotal moment in the movie.
It is.
That's funny, Scott.
That's when it became very pivotable for me as well, John.
Yeah. He's a Ralphie Parker. And his dad, like, goes on these tirades where he's swearing, but he's just mumbling under his breath, and the narrator, so verbosely, is that correct?
Sure, why not? Verbosely. And I'm sure he was prolific, too.
Oh, fuck you, man. All right. He goes on this tirade and stuff and whatnot, and the narrator puts it in perspective, and he says it really verbosely. I don't have the notes about it.
Right.
So, yeah, that was my, what'd I say? Number three?
Number three. All right, you ready for my number three? Go ahead and play the clip.
Hold on a second. Let me
my
get
number
to
three.
It.
Play the clip. It's hot, man. Hold it's it. A hot clip.
Okay, here we go.
Go ahead and play two All of right. them. All right, there you go.
Wouldn't be the Christmas shopping season if the stores were any less hooter than they are. Hotter than they are. Where do you think you're going? Nobody's leaving. Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas. No, no, we're all in this together. This is a full-blown four-alarm holiday emergency here. We're going to press on, and we're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap danced with Danny fucking K. And when Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney tonight, he's going to find the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house.
All right then, John, my number three. Do you know what that's from?
Hold on, boys. Christmas Vacation.
That's right, John. Christmas Vacation, 1989, with Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, and it wouldn't have even been on my list if it weren't for Randy Quaid. Randy Quaid's character in Christmas Vacation. Really, the movie doesn't start for me until Randy Quaid shows up, and I identify with this character.
Oh, you don't like Chevy Chase?
I like Chevy Chase. He's good. I liked him in this movie. I liked him in Spies Like Us. And I liked him in my favorite Chevy Chase character is Ty from Caddyshack.
I liked him in Fletch.
Yeah, I really didn't care for Fletch. Yeah. So that's my number three, John. Christmas Vacation, 1989.
Okay. Here's my number two.
Number two from John. John's number two.
And I want to look him
straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is. Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?
I know what that is, man. That's Fletch. No.
No.
Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation.
With the Griswolds.
1989 with the Griswolds. Oh, you know who else was in that
movie? I watch that movie every fucking year.
I watch that movie five times every year. Who's the daughter? What's the daughter's name?
Juliette Lewis.
Juliette Lewis. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She's a whore. All right then, John. My number two, go ahead and play the clip, if you will. Number two, my number two.
Number two, here we go.
You got it? There you go.
Yeah.
Well, shut up. Cut it out. You're crazy. That's what I think. You're screwy. You're driving me crazy, too. I'm seeing things here. I'm going home and see my wife and family. You understand that? And I'm going home alone.
Get me back. I don't care what happens to me. Get me back to my wife and kids. Help me, Terrence, please. Please. I want to live again. I want to live again. I want to live again. Please, God, let me live again.
All right, John, did you know what my number two is? Of course you do. Well, how could you not know what that is?
I misspelled it.
That's right, John.
It's A Wonderful
it's
Life.
It's A Wonderful Life, 1946. Life. And I love this movie, John.
It's fan-fucking-tastic.
Did you know, John, the scene that required Donna Reed to throw a rock into the window of the Granville house? Frank Capra hired a marksman to shoot it out with her on cue. To everyone's amazement, Donna Reed broke the window with true aim and heft without assistance from the hired marksman.
Wow.
Isn't that hot?
Yeah.
Also, John, James Stewart was nervous about the phone scene kiss with Donna Reed, because it was his first screen kiss since his return to Hollywood after the war. Oh, James Stewart went to World War II. He was a real man, okay? Not like the W, okay?
All right,
so he
down,
got
man.
Back from the war.
It's Christmas time.
And under Capra's watchful eye, Stewart filmed the scene in only one unrehearsed take. And, John, wow. It worked so well that the part of the embrace was cut because it was too passionate to pass the censors.
Whoa.
I'd like to see that unedited version, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In 2004, the BBC TV listing magazine Radio Times conducted a poll of the best film never to have won an Oscar. It's A Wonderful Life came in second. Do you know what came in first?
No.
A Shawshank Redemption.
Nice.
I'm sorry.
What?
The Shawshank Redemption. All right, and two of the, and I've always wondered about this, but two of the Sesame Street characters, most famous characters, Bert and Ernie, share their names with the cop and the cab driver in this movie.
Yeah.
But this is said to be just a coincidence, John.
Yeah.
And also, the last thing, the gym floor that opens up to reveal a swimming pool was real and was located at the Hollywood High School in Los Angeles.
Wow.
And also, John, just a couple of personal insights into
okay.
this.
Yeah.
Alfalfa's in this movie.
Right.
He's the guy who flips the switch that opens up the pool.
Right.
Alfalfa from the Little Rascals.
Albalfa.
Who later went on to become an alcoholic, and he died of liver something or other when he was like 30.
Nice.
All right, then. The other thing is every time, and I see this movie 10 times every holiday season. I can't get enough of this movie. And I've seen it at least 100 times. But every time, and I'm going to tell you about the scene, tell you if you remember. Remember?
Yeah, go on.
It's when the banks start shutting down, right? And everybody
yeah.
wants their money. And they all show up. And he's got to cancel his honeymoon and take the $2,000 they were going to spend on their honeymoon. And he's got to fork it over to his customers, right?
Right, right.
And the first guy's got, I got $246 and I want $246. And I thought, what a fucking man. I hated that first guy. So then the woman who comes up next, she's like, can I have $17.50? And George Bailey reaches over and he gives her a big kiss. And every time, a tear comes right out of my eye, man. And then again at the very end when he's the richest man in town.
You liberal weenie.
And they all just flood in and just start dumping the cash on him. I tear up. Every time, John. Every time.
Can't I know help what you're it. Saying, man. I know it. I feel your pain.
Love that movie.
Well, you know what my number one is?
What's your number one, John?
Let me play a clip and see if you can guess.
Okay.
Here we go.
Get me back. I don't care what happens to me. Get me back to my wife and kids. Help me, Terrence, please. Please. I want to live again. I want to live again. I want to live again. Please, God, let me live again.
Hold it. There's one more clip you need to play. Hold on. Ready?
Yeah.
You two pixies, get out the door and don't come back.
Oh, you can leave. Out the door, out the window. You dummy.
Yeah, I like that Nick guy.
Mr. Gower, Mr. Gower, don't you remember me? Don't you remember?
It's we me, serve George hard Bush. Drinks for hard men.
I'll have a... What is Clarence order? I'll have
know.
A flaming rum punch. Easy on the cloves. YouTube. Hey, check this out. Ching, ching, ching.
Oh, but also...
I'm giving out wings.
One thing we're not talking about is the greatest villain in theater history, movie history, Mr. Potter.
Mr. Potter.
Mr. Potter is so kick-ass. I mean, he takes the $8,000... And uses it for his own advantage. And he makes George come in and grovel. It's great, yeah. Man. It's great, Mr.
Well,
Potter.
You know, in 1947, Scott, the FBI viewed the film as subversive and pro-communist on the grounds of its negative depiction of the capitalist Potter and the triumph of the common man.
Capitalist
Bailey.
Potter? Potter yeah. was a cocksucker.
I know. He stole.
He was,
knew that money was belonged to George Bush.
Wait
I mean,
a
Bailey.
Minute. So the FBI, that's how they think capitalism works?
Yeah.
You fuck over who everybody yeah. else to get to the top?
Yep.
God, who was running the FBI then? Those cocksuckers.
One of the Bushes.
So it was subversive. So then what?
That's it.
That's
and,
it?
And pro-communist.
Oh, what a crock of shit.
It also, the movie has inspired other alternative reality sections of movies, such as the alternate in 1985 in Back to the Future 2, and the glimpse given to Jack Campbell in The Family Man.
How so in Back to the Future 2?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
All right.
Another then. Rumor, Scott, is that Pink Floyd album Wish You Were Here can be played alongside the film. With key events in the movie timed to the song lyrics.
That's the wrong movie, man. It's The Wizard of Oz.
The similarities are said to be more noticeable than in the other claimed Pink Floyd movie sync with The Wizard of Oz and The Dark Side of the Moon.
You fuckface!
Well, we'll have to try that some night.
It is also often quoted that psychiatrists would recommend It's a Wonderful Life to patients suffering from depression. This was because it was such a well-known feel-good movie, and it generated positive results. However, contemporary psychiatrists would probably scoff at this idea, but in the special edition video, this theory is quoted.
Wow.
And you know, when they did the colorized version?
Never saw it.
Totally turned off.
Never saw it.
It ruined the movie for me.
I can imagine.
But it's still my number one because I watched it so many times. Now, I don't really watch it anymore.
And the thing about Jimmy Stewart, meaning. He was a big movie star, and he did a lot of films. And I'm sure he did a lot of important films at that time. But he will go down in history as George Bailey. Because this movie will be played over and over on holidays. None of those other Jimmy Stewart movies will be played. You know, maybe in film class or something.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Stewart will go down in history as George Bailey. What a great character to go down as. Down on. As.
Well, you know, Frank Capra used to make all those propaganda films about the Japs.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, for World War II.
Well, that's cool.
He did all these films and stuff that made him out, you know, having big buck teeth and so squinty you could blind him with a rubber band. Blindfold him.
Is that one of the taglines for his film?
No. I heard a some guy make it up.
Oh.
Some, what do you call it?
No doubt.
Scott, you know what? That's all the time we have for this part. We have to move along to part three.
All right.
Sorry. You ready?
I guess.
All right, here we go. We're moving on. Ready?
Okay.
Here we go.
All right.
That was part two. Now stay tuned for...
Part three.
Just one last click away.
At Total Talk Nonsense with Sean and Scott.
Some fun.